WGBH.
Good morning. This is WGBH's Morning Edition. 9 minutes now before 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. And joining me, as usual, Arts Editor Jared Vaughan. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, lots of news being made on the theater front, most of it having to do with real estate. And we have this arrangement between Huntington Theater Company and BU parting ways, huh?
Yeah, this is pretty significant, Bob. For 33 years, Boston University and Huntington have been partners. And partners really in that some of the staff of the Huntington has been teaching BU students. They've been part of the curriculum. And then in exchange, the Huntington has been able to have their theater on Huntington Avenue for free. Well, yesterday, they announced that they're splitting after 33 years. That basically, Boston University wants to concentrate its arts programming on its Charles River campus, so move across town. They know that their property on Huntington Avenue is very is worth quite a bit of money in this high development real estate market that we have right now. And the Huntington's aim here is that it needs to improve its facilities. The Huntington, of course, is one of the main theatrical engines in this town, and they know that they need to continue to move forward in terms of facilities. So they will part ways. They are allowed to stay in that space until 2017, rent-free, at which time the Huntington either has to buy that theater or they have to move elsewhere. And so what they're looking to do is partner with the developer who can help them develop that space. That's the ideal solution in their mind, other than having to move somewhere else in the city or to be homeless. I talked to their managing director, Michael Massa, right after the announcement was made yesterday, and he talked a little bit more about what the theater is facing in terms of infrastructure.
For us, it's facilities. You know, we have a beautiful space, but it has conservatively $5 million of deferred maintenance. And it also comes down to the fact that this facility, while world-class in 1925 when it was built, is hardly that now. And we really want to duplicate what we did at the Calderwood Pavilion.
The Pavilion in the South End is at a time when that area of town was not a destination. In fact, many people wouldn't go there for crime and whatnot. They built this Calderwood Pavilion next to the Boston Center for the Arts. It became a theatrical destination. It drew in luxury housing, high-end restaurants, and now it's one of the city hotspots.
That's right.
So that's exactly what they're trying to replicate on Huntington Avenue.
Okay, so the other news breaking is that Emerson College, which owns the spectacularly renovated Colonial Theater, is going to turn it into a student union. It's hard for me to imagine such a transformation.
Well, that's what the Boston Globe is reporting today. I actually had spoken to Emerson about this last week just to check in to see where this was. The Colonial is one of our great historic theaters in this town. It's a huge part of the nation's theater history, and so many Broadway shows tried out at the Colonial before going on to New York. Last week, Emerson told me they were reviewing a number of options. What they plan to do is they've ended their release with City Center and other touring productions so that they can close down the theater and renovate it for HVAC problems. The fire department had issues, so they wanted to renovate. They told me they were exploring a number of options. What they did not tell me is that they had an actual plan that we saw laid out in the Globe today that would call for infrastructure changes within the theater, that they would remove seats in the bowels of the theater, the heart of the theater, that they might turn it into a dining hall. Again, I have to preface this by saying this is one option they're looking at. However, they did not communicate that to me last week. So they might want to work on transparency a little bit more. But this will be a major issue in the city.
Absolutely.
And space continues to be an issue for theater. And the final thing I'll mention that Emerson is aware of and the other theaters are aware of is that there are a lot of theaters in this city and not enough productions to fill them. I think I was told that only the theater was filled about 25% of the time. So you have to really look at what makes the property most viable.
It's too bad. It is such a spectacular theater. And anybody who hasn't been in there, just go in it or take a look at the picture in the Globe this morning. It's just amazing. Well, next we turn to two things that I don't necessarily go together. Kansas City Choir Boy and Courtney Love. So tell us how this goes together.
Yeah, this is a piece at the ART's Oberon Space. And Kansas City Choir Boy is a piece, it's described as a theatricalized concept album. And here you find a young couple in love, and they are just newly married. They're a super young cool kid Midwestern couple, and he is content to just, now that they're married, sit in front of the television and enjoy their complacent life, where she has a yearning to go off to the big city. Her name is Athena. She wants to go off to the big city and feels the allure of that, so she leaves him. And this is him really reflecting on their relationship. It's written by Todd Almond. The music is fantastic. He's a poetic songwriter, and Courtney Love plays his married lover in this piece. And so as co-stars, they have really, really fantastic chemistry. I think one of the distinctive parts here is to have Courtney Love in this very small space in front of you. As I mentioned, her character's name is Athena. In real life, Courtney Love is such this mythic figure, right, as the front woman of Hole, the widow of Kurt Cobain. We've been treated to her tabloid travails. So to have her right in front of you, and she's magnificent, is interesting. Huh. I also talked to her recently about returning to theater for her first time since childhood at a failed Mickey Mouse Club audition.
I get to do this wonderful music every night, which is great. And it was hard to learn because it's not four to the floor rock and roll. It's like sophisticated, and there's strings and there's pauses and there's things that I normally wouldn't do. There's some rocking moments, but there's not a trillion of them. So
is it difficult?
It was. It's second nature now. And Todd's got such good taste. He's so tasteful.
Oh, no pausing in rock and roll, that's for sure, or with Courtney Love. But it's a real unique chance to see her in a very different environment, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, there is something transcendent about, and this doesn't happen very often, there's something transcendent about having somebody who has this aura about them right in front of you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, next we turn to a classic Tennessee Williams Streetcar Named Desire.
The Streetcar Named Desire is now playing at the GAM Theater in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I've been hearing a lot about this show, which stars Marianna Basham. This is a revival, of course, of the Tennessee Williams classic, where you have Blanche DuBois arriving at her sister's home. She's all dressed in white, and Marianna Basham is this porcelain figure. And she is somebody who is just trying so intently to keep it together, when really she's consumed by alcohol and by pills. She's flirting with Stanley when he's not yelling Stella in his own attraction to his wife. She's flirting with him because she needs to feel worth. And in this really magnificent production, also in a very, very small space, we see this fractured woman over the course of these 3 hours. It's an exceptional production. I recently talked to Marianna Basham about playing Blanche DuBois, which in some ways she said is harder than doing Shakespeare.
It's a huge role. I am going really hard for almost 3 hours, and it's a ton of text, and it's an extremely complex character. But then there's smoking, and there's drinking, and there's hats, and there's an accent, and there's the South, and there's a time period, and it's a ton of layers, but it's exciting.
And we should mention, this is at the Great GAM Theater in Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
That was my inaugural visit, and I was so bowled over between the lighting, the sets, and how they use music.
Great theater. And Open Studio.
This week on Open Studio, we will head to the MFA, where you can see their new Dutch Masters show, and I'll talk to Joe Spalding about the Wang Theater's 90th anniversary.
Right. Arts editor Jared Bowen, who joins us every Thursday morning right here on Morning Edition. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.